Hello everyone, I'm Stephen Croft, the Bishop of Oxford. Welcome to this first edition of a new podcast, My Extraordinary Family. For each edition, I'm going to be talking with someone I've come to know in my travels across our diocese and occasionally beyond about their faith, about their work, and about their story. I'm going to ask people what it means to them to try and be more Christ-like, more contemplative, more compassionate, and more courageous. To launch the podcast, I'm in Bishopthorpe Palace, and my guest is none other than the Archbishop of York, John Sentamu. Archbishop, thanks so much for joining us.
It is my delight and my joy.
We've known each other many years, and exactly 10 years tomorrow, you ordained me as a bishop. The night before the consecration, we gathered with all of my children in the chapel at Bishopthorpe, and you prayed for me with my family present, which I think was the most moving moment of that process. So, Archbishop, can I ask you, what has it meant to you over the years to be a disciple of Jesus Christ?
I am really seeing myself as a beggar, telling other beggars where I found bread. And that the friendship that Jesus has given us is just so unbelievable. And the greatest miracle he performs in me every day is his constant forgiveness. Mm. I have a friend who forgives me daily, and that's amazing.
Wonderful, wonderful. I know you've done some extraordinary things in your time as Archbishop of York. You've seemed to me to focus more and more as the years have gone by on the simple things, on witnessing to the love of God in Jesus Christ. And you made time some years ago to walk the length and breadth of your whole diocese, simply teaching people how to pray and witnessing to Christ. How did that come about and how did it go?
3 years before, I was on Holy Island and praying, and people may not believe this, but I had a voice on Cuthbert's little island, a voice saying, on the road. And I looked around, there was nobody there, on the road. So I contemplated, and I was going to start it the following year, this pilgrimage, as I worked out what it actually meant, but I had prostate cancer, so that stood in the way. And once that was over, I knew for sure I've got to get on the road. 6 months walking, staying in every week, choosing, you know, the community choosing which widow or widower I was going to stay in, and praying with them and walking, and every day covering about 10 miles, and praying with the people all along the way. And it was just the most amazing, amazing experience. On the road was a marvelous message.
Yeah. And is it something you've commended to other bishops to do? Has anybody followed your example?
There are a lot of people. There are now hear stories from all over. I've got my weekend in the deanery and I'm going to be walking. So it's become almost one of those amazing things. There's nothing like being on the road. You encounter and see people and places in a car you never see.
And last September, I took a week and I walked between every parish church in the city of Oxford, not the diocese as you did, but I did the city in a week, which is 26 churches, and it really was a wonderful experience. And I rediscovered something about being a bishop. Yeah. I learned again in a new way that bishops are really quite tangential to ordinary parish life.
Absolutely.
But when they turn up, they're really, really welcome, and people were so appreciative.
Of course, what happened on the way, because I was walking in winter, where there was some flooding in some places, and a mother saying, can you baptize my baby? It meant I had to travel for almost 40 minutes to get to where she was, and then could baptize the baby, and decided not to baptize her in the water, because you don't know how clean the water was. Fortunately, I had a bottle of water with me and baptized this baby. And the amazing thing, then the whole family signed up from that moment.
Wonderful. And how did people respond when they saw you, as it were, coming around the bend and coming towards them as they
Some would actually get excited, and some would, because I had people walking with me. I wasn't just alone.
Yeah.
I picked up a lot of people on the way. Some were so shocked. I turned up into one shop. Where the manager was so shocked that I was in her shop. I mean, she really was just, she couldn't get it together for quite some time that I was in there. But she gave me an opportunity then to witness to people about Jesus.
Yeah.
And on the road, we prayed for people. And actually, there were people who were healed. And I look back on that 6 months and I say, God gave me an opportunity which is not easy to find again, really.
But one of the other things you've done, which I was also going to talk to you about, is I know for a number of years now you've been leading the bishops of the North on mission to different dioceses. And each year you've been to a different diocese, and that started in Sheffield.
Where you were the bishop.
Well, I was the bishop in 2015, and we welcomed 20-something bishops, I think. And now it's bishops and their teams.
Yes.
How is that whole project going?
It has grown. I mean, we've seen ourselves, and the biggest we had actually to start, you know, was in Durham, where there were 900 missioners with bishops coming with 900
That's
missioners.
Amazing.
And then Carlisle was about twice that size because it was ecumenical as well. And yours was Crossroads Mission. Then Blackburn was the same. You took your same thing, Crossroads, and then Durham decided to take Talking Jesus, and that was a very engaging. And then we had Carlisle, Moving Mountains. And then Newcastle, Pathways, and we're going to Liverpool. So Liverpool, then Nottingham, and then York. And I think in all of those missions, people have been given confidence. Confidence to talk about their faith. And I've been amazed by people who have come into a gathering not expecting to ever commit to anything. I mean, there was a guy in Newcastle Cathedral who... you know, had come there, life wasn't doing well for him, and the lady said, oh, don't worry, the Archbishop's coming here, the Archbishop's coming here. I started to preach, and he started crying and comes to me. I came here to know whether there is a God. As soon as I saw you in the pulpit, I knew this was the sign that, and he gave his life to Christ. And so all I would say is that out there, there's a lot of hunger, and your thing, come and meet my family, is a wonderful thing, because in the church we are a family, which means love our misunderstandings, disagreements, and we have not actually chosen. God has called us into that family, just like any other child who's born. The child never chooses to be born in that family, poor thing. They find themselves, they're born in that family, then they've got to grow up, and that's what I think the church is like, really.
And I remember in Sheffield, one of the big effects of the Crossroads Mission was that it became normal and natural everywhere for people to see that witnessing to our faith was something that we should do with confidence. I think before then, people heard me and my colleague Bishop Peter talking about it, and they thought, well, that's just Stephen and Peter doing their thing. But when all the bishops of the North turn up and they're all saying in different ways, folks, we need to be doing this with confidence and with joy, then the diocese catches something in that process. That's really, I think it's been a great gift that you brought. Now, we are pursuing a vision in the Diocese of Oxford of seeking to be a more Christ-like church for the sake of God's world, more contemplative, more compassionate, and more courageous. And I wanted to ask you about one of those words, and the word I wanted to ask you about was courageous. Where are the areas that you need to be courageous in your own discipleship and ministry, and what resources do you draw on for that?
If you'd asked me, would I be courageous if I'm being picked up on a road on my way to work as a judge, and they arrest you and they beat you up, would you be courageous enough to continue being faithful to Christ? I think I would have said, I don't know. But once in there, when you've been beaten up and there's a guy telling you around, he's God, and I challenged Major Onzo, I said, no, you are not God. Do not blaspheme. And then you get a lot of beatings. I suddenly saw my courage growing. And the only way you know whether you've got courage is by doing risky things, actually, sometimes. To sit on the margins, you'll never know. And that's why Jesus tells the disciples, we don't know whether they were just on the edges of the lake as they were fishing, put it out in the deep. It's really by going in those deep places where you are at the mercy of the waters, you know where courage is. You stand on the shallows, it is easy to control it and manage it. It's when you are being carried, really, by the sheer abundance of water. And you get this actually in Ezekiel 47, where he begins seeing this living water starting from the altar, and then it's going through the temple, and he says it was ankle deep, and then he says, as it went out in the desert, it became to my waist, and so on and so forth, and I could not walk anymore but swim. Mm-hmm. And it became deeper as it went into the desert, where he sees visions of trees and fishermen. Mm-hmm. In the temple, inside, those visions don't come. Mm-hmm. So you got to go out into the desert places, trust yourself to the power of the Spirit. And for me, it is those kinds of things. Like, for example, spending 24 hours praying about Mugabe and all his trouble, knowing I've got to cut up my dog collar, which I thought, if I cut up my collar, people will say, what's going wrong with him? He's just a bit loose in the head, is he? So I think to do courageous things, you've got to go into the depth.
Stepping out into the deep water. I remember when I was just started leading the Fresh Expressions team a very long time ago now. And the verse that came to us over and over again was that passage in Luke's Gospel where Jesus says, put out into deep water and let down the nets. And that again is, I think, for lots of people in their discipleship and in beginning new churches and starting new ventures. It's finding that courage from hearing God, isn't it, really, and moving out.
Yeah, I mean, G.K. Chesterton put it beautifully, didn't he? That when you find yourself in hot water, that's a safe place because it keeps you clean.
I've not heard that quote before. That's very good. That's excellent. Now, speaking of water, do you still baptize people in the open air on Easter Saturday?
I still do, and not only on Easter Day, on a week ago, I was baptizing people with total immersion. Yeah. Fortunately, this time the water was warm.
As opposed to cold. People have heard me talk about renewing catechesis across the diocese, and in most of the talks, if I've had a chance to show pictures, I've shown a picture of you baptizing somebody outside York Minster on Easter Saturday. So that may be a familiar picture to some people listening. What would you say to people to encourage them to seek baptism or the renewal of their baptismal promises?
They've been prepared by the judges, and so they come on Holy Saturday and they're baptized. But I've always given an opportunity for anybody who's never been baptized, because I give an evangelist talk. And I said to them, if you've never found Jesus, come and find out. He too was baptized, and you too can find the blessings of God. And there was a woman on one occasion who wanted total immersion. I said, Madam, but you need to have some clothes to change into. What are you going to do? Anyway, so I said, I'll baptize you and I'll put your head in the water three times. So you'll get a bit of that depth of it. And then the same with her son. Then I had to buy her son some clothes from the York Minster shop. So, there have been people who had not been prepared at all. They're watching this thing with a guy who came from Scotland. He just was a passerby. He had me talk about this. The baptism began. Once you've gone into 20 people, he too said, and I say, is there anybody here who's never been baptized? I haven't. I want to follow Jesus. So actually, often baptisms are great invitations for people.
And one of the remarkable things about baptism services, I find, is the outpouring of joy.
Yeah.
That happens
when
somebody goes down into the water
and
comes up. It is just such a resurrection moment. That's fantastic. Archbishop, would you pray for us in the Diocese of Oxford as we try and be more courageous and contemplative and compassionate, and pray your blessing to us as we seek to make this journey?
Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for your love to us in your Son Jesus Christ. Thank you for his life, his death, his resurrection. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been abundantly poured out to make us more Christ-like. Father, I pray for the Diocese of Oxford, his bishops, his priests, his clergy, his lay workers, his ministers, and all those who are seeking to make Christ visible. Day by day, give them your joy, and above all, assure them that you love them so much, and daily you work that wonderful miracle of forgiveness. May they go from strength to strength, and bless them abundantly with your presence. This I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Archbishop, thank you for all you give to the church, for all you've given to me over the years, and thank you for being the first guest on my extraordinary family. Thank you.
I've been longing for you to include me in your family, so thank you.